Ja, ja.
Right, well, after some jiggery pokery, I think we have got music back to the start of the podcast now, because Nicholas was jiving away to that. Although I did quite like actually editing last time. We normally don't do any edit on this, it's just done live. But last couple on, because we couldn't find any music, I lost the music somehow. I was actually editing it, which is a bit better because we could start and restart things. But anyway, we're back. So as I said on the tweet tonight, it's been really hard trying to find a night when we're all together, which has been quite hard, so we might cover that. And it seems quite a long time to put this episode together, but we've finally done it. So the three of us are all sat in front of various screens. Bruce up in York, Nick up in Malton, Norton.
And freezing up here, freezing in York.
It's quite warm in Staffordshire still. I've just been in Whitby for a few days where the weather wasn't particularly great. So the plan today on episode 46, which again is, again, blimey, 46, is, as promised, we're going to start on our hometown crawl. And we're going to do it in 2 hours, because I've worked out that I think there are 11 functioning pubs, shall we call them, that you could do a really good crawl in. There are a few other places as well that you get drink in Malton, so we'll mention those as well. So rather than do it and try and rush it all through one night, we're going to do it in two halves. So this evening, we're going to start on the first six of the current pubs in Malton. And then the next episode we'll do, and then Nick's off to Spain, the Balearics next week. So it'll be probably a week or so before we record the next episode. We'll pick up the second half as well. And then we still need to an episode, I think, chaps, on kind of all the other bits we talk about doing. We are going to cover all Old Malton today. So we've done Norton, and we've got at least three places drinking Old Malton. And then also we mentioned about doing some of the villages as well. So by probably the end of June, we'll have given it a good hit and covered most of them. So how are we, gents? It's kind of week.
Yeah, well, the sad thing is, Mike, and you know, you're saying there's 11 functional pubs in Malton now, but even in our lifetime, we would have had, what, double that number?
Yeah, well, I mean, as we said, there were 50-odd pubs, weren't they, in Malton and Norton? So I put that in the tweet.
Yeah, but I'm talking last 30 years when we've been drinking.
Yeah.
I would think you'd be able to at least double that number.
And if anybody wants to look back at episode 44, we talked quite a lot about those pubs which we knew as kids or younger drinkers, and have since gone. So, yeah, it's a bit of a shame. I think I just put in the tweet, though, it is quite an eclectic mix now, isn't it? You've got some traditional Yorkshire pubs, like the Blue Ball and places like that, and then you've also got some newer venues like Omni and tap rooms like Brass Castle. So you've got quite a variation in town. A couple of pubs that are possibly going to reopen in the future, but who knows? So there is quite a variation, really. So
it's hard to see the Golden Lion closed, isn't it, really? We'd love to see that reopen.
Yeah, and keep reading that he's got their plans and there are plans and there are plans. So we'll have to keep seeing. And we've talked about the date as well, haven't we? That's going to reopen.
I don't know if I've debated on here before, but the last person I was speaking to reckons there's some confusion over who actually owns it.
Well,
yeah. As in, I'm not sure, meaning building-wise or lease or whatever else. But there has been scaffolding on there, so obviously it's in such a condition now that they must be doing something with the roof. But I say, I can't quite remember who it was who said that to me, but I didn't basically take it as an off-the-cuff comment that they didn't know what they were talking about. So, yeah, be interesting to see what happens with it, really.
But I see Travelodge or Premier Income, because would it be any other competition such would there really, and you get that whole influx of people in town, maybe 40, 50, 60 couples looking to wait, it'd be a huge boost to the economy. The family in Pickering have it there. And I noticed now that Travelodge are entering partnerships with the local authorities, where they're saying their local authorities will buy property or ex-local authority properties, they'll turn them into a Travelodge. And then they're going to profit share for like the next 40 years. And they're saying the economic benefit for these smaller towns is colossal. So a good solution. But of course, it's owned by the estate, the Green Man in Malton. But that's, I mean, as long as you start, I hate to see a Wetherspoons come because that would decimate the pubs. But Travelodge or Premier Inn would be great for town, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I was told they were charging, I think, 170, 180 quid this weekend for a night in the lodge. Because obviously that's all we've got. We've got the lodge and the Talbot, and then you've got a couple of, you know, pubs with rooms above. But I've always said there is a shortage of accommodation. Are you back with us, Mike? Because you dropped out, and then I don't know if you're back or not. Looks like he's not. Are you there? Can you hear us?
I don't know what's happening now, but I think I'm back. I'm
up. Me and Bruce were still able to have a conversation. But yeah, well, that's fine.
That was all good. No, I think it said it was still carrying on, so that's fine. So, as I said, it's been a while since we've been together on live and certainly in person. I saw Nick briefly. What did we do, Nick? We had a quick pint, Nick, in Whitby. Took you to a new place you haven't been before at the Middle Earth Tavern. We had quite a nice a pipping, which was all right, actually.
It always has been okay, pipping. As I said, it must be, I don't want to, you know, make comments on landlords or even the brewery, but it always seems to be a beer that seems to be fairly easy to keep and keeps a good condition, you know, with it being a quite light beer.
So we had hoped that we might get together over the Whit bank holiday, but unfortunately, again, didn't quite work that way. So we are still planning. We have our Northern Rail vouchers that we have been in local papers over the last couple of weeks, which means you get, is it 17 quid for a week, Rover? Is it 10?
Weekend.
Weekend.
10 of one day, anywhere on the Northern Rail network, 17 quid for the, 17.50 for the weekend. We don't have to print the forms off yet, do we, Bruce?
No.
No, you do that when you go to the station and buy your ticket, it says. Yeah. So that's
you have to print off.
We're going to try and plan some up for two with that in maybe this evening. Yeah, so we'll do that. I think we've got to the end of July. So we're going to try and work out a bit of a beery get together. It's a bit harder for me because Northern Trains, we only run one service from where I'm in Stoke. So that goes up to Manchester, and then we talk about maybe going to Chester. So Nick's already showed us that he's on the London Pride tonight because he's found some bargains in his local shops.
I still prefer the old-fashioned traditional livery. This glass is probably about 10, 15 years old. And although you won't see much difference, I still think that looks a lot more regal and traditional compared to one of the newest bottles where they've just tweaked the design a little bit.
Yeah, you're right, Nick. You're right, yeah. Unnecessary change, yeah.
That's the Japanese influence now, maybe. But yeah, £1. £1.29, £1. Can't remember, it was £29.39 in local Herons. So I got a couple of bottles of that, and I was in my local Asda yesterday, and they were a cracking deal, and they've got 500 milliliter bottles of Jaipur at £2 a bottle, but it's also on there buy four for the price of three. So you get four bottles of Jaipur. That's going to be 6 quid. That's going to be £1.50 a bottle. Well, I mean, you can't even get the little bottles for £1.50. So
that's really cheap, isn't it?
I was on foot, so I'll be going down in the car tomorrow, I think, and clearing the shelf of those.
Okay, well, me and Bruce just had the pre-diabetic discussion before we went online. I know Bruce had a cup of tea at the moment and was contemplating some zero Guinness, but it's chicken out of the fridge. So I've got some zero Guinness as well, so we might do that next time. We might have zero Guinness because I don't think I've not had any yet. I've got a couple of cans, but I'm not, Annie, so we might do that.
I was drinking it last year, Zero Guinness, when it first came out, and I reckon it's one of the best alcohol-free or very low-alcohol beers that's out there. That and Adnams Ghost Ship, everything else, no. I've tried them, don't like them, but yeah, Zero Guinness and Adnams Ghost Ship, 0.5, I think it is, like them.
Well, the trip to Whitby mean I picked up some Yorkshire beers in the co-op because they do a really good offer. So I'm about to start on a Saltaire Citra, which I think I've had before, but it's quite like Saltaire beers. And they seem to have a bit of a thing with the co-op. So they had a full range of those Saltaire beers. And I've just actually had an Elvis juice because I've got some of my I took these to the band week in Wales and didn't drink as much. So it's back there as well. So
are they 6.5 or are they 5.1?
Six and a half in the little cans. So it's been a while since we kind of sent some of these in, but Bruce, you've been out and about. Looks a very, very busy Fox. I think that was middle bank holiday, if I remember rightly.
It was heaving. We was absolutely packed. So we ended up mooched into town a bit late because kids want to come with us. And then the other picture of those people on YouTube to the right is Sam Smith's pub just reopened. Big events around here. This was the village of Rufforth, about 3 miles between York and Weatherby. That pub's been closed for about 4 years. Anyway, a young couple have taken it over and very well patronised. There's a lovely beer garden around the back as well, which is in the shade on the night. That was jolly good news.
Bless him. Give him about 3 weeks, Bruce.
I didn't know that the Ploughing Whitby was a Sam Smith's pub, which is on like the high street. That's still shut, very much shut. That had adverts up if you want to come and manage this pub. The Jolly Sailors were still going very strong on the front. But I had no children on the no mobiles. No, the Fox still doing their outdoor bar when he gets that busy, Bruce. So do you have to?
Yeah, yeah.
Right now? Yeah,
yeah. It's a haven. It's just a position to. Well, I've said the last few weeks, I've had some really good beer. Finding the people to be really looking after beer at the minute. I've rarely come across a bad pint. We had some wonderful Roosters beer at the Minster Inn a few days ago. That was fab. And then we were at Harrogate on the weekend. They went to the Gardener's Arms. Probably a very few great pubs that are like unknown gems, really. That Gardener's Arms in Bilton, which is like the farthest, the very edge of Harrogate. It's the Sam Smith's pub. So it's absolutely amazing. I think the interior possibly now is in that inventory of historic pub interiors. Can't wait for that night. But they've got a stunning beer garden. I should send you a picture. And I was in London last Friday. Went to the Chelsea Flower Show. Sadly, no beer news report there. Apparently, it was £6 for a bottle of Peroni or Doomba. I did see a sign. It's £14 for a Pimm's. I thought, £14 for a pitcher of Pimm's? That's not bad. It was actually £14.10 a glass. Yeah. Well, that is bloody outrageous, isn't it? I mean, but it's only 20%. £14 for a glass of Pimm's. That was insane. we were so long there, but having another tea, went to Hawksmoor, Regent Street. The Jay Rainey, to be fair to me, he said it was probably the best pre-evening deal you could get in London. I think he's possibly right. I mean, you go to a big, huge Art Deco dining room in Air Street, just off Regent Street. And before 6:30, you get three courses for £30. Of course, it includes those lovely Hawksmoor steaks. I had a potted beef with Yorkshire pudding.
What beer do they have on, Bruce?
Sadly, no beer,
unfortunately.
Well, move on then. Move on. It's a beer pod. Not bloody food.
Talking of beer pods, yeah, interestingly, the Fox is a bit of a kind of a literati of York, because I've mentioned before that I know Adam from Time for a Brew podcast. That's his local. And on the latest camera podcast, they're talking to the Brabba guy or the Stymie Steve, who's another Yorkite, who's ticking off the good beer guide. And I follow him on Twitter. And again, he was asked about to name his best pub, and his best pub was his local, which is the Fox as well. That must be something kind of that Holgate Acre end of York, where all the great pub literati would sit. So, Nick, you've been working quite hard. So, I know you've had a few trips, not as many trips out probably as you normally have, a few walks up the town. And then you come across a very interesting Wetherspoons, where I know you've been back a couple of times actually, where these are unbelievable prices, especially for Titanic and Rudgate.
Gutted. I was driving. Yeah, Sunday night, bob through there, Driffield. It's actually our nearest one, but it's always nice and steady on. Managed to speak to the manager if he's still there. He knows what he's doing as far as the beer's concerned. And yeah, what a shot. Walked in and, should I say, two really good beers on. Rudgate Ruby Mild, which I've got a tasting for, and Titanic. Obviously, Titanic, local to you, Mike, and this was their first one that they ever brewed, I believe, the anchor, Titanic Anchor. Yeah. And at 99 pence a pint, is this not
anti-competitive? In a small town where people are struggling, they can't sell this beer at the price they've got, so they've knocked it down to 99p. So if you're ringing your friends, go, this is anti-competitive.
It's got nothing to do with not being able to sell the beer, Bruce. And once again, the spot would be rammed and therefore I wouldn't go there. The other pubs in Driffield, for whatever reason, have their local clientele. The Wetherspoons does as well.
But was this a one-off or was this Was this a ploy to show one of the
one off? Never seen beer at 99 pence before, in there before.
And were they taking, vouchers as well?
Not on that price, but better than tipping it down, the drain as well, Bruce.
Well, if he's over ordering to knock it at that price, to me, it raises an awful lot of questions about his business ethics, you know.
But anyway, let's move on.
Titanic and Rudgate are still getting paid for selling their beer.
It's a while ago now, but on Coronation Weekend, the band we were playing in one of our little local parks, where the Pinkle band, where we get our kind of name from. Unfortunately, it was a really, if you remember that weekend, it was bloody horrible and wet. And we actually ended up playing on the Monday, and again, we got rained off pretty much. We played a bit. We had one of the Lord Lieutenants from Staffordshire with us, so we had to do something. So we played to win an early finish. So that meant that we could actually frequent one or two beers. And so I met up, I had my son with me and brother-in-law and one or two of the band. The band we're going to meet up in our local, which is the Pinkle Greyhound. So we got there a bit earlier. So a pub that I'd wanted to go in, or a bar that I wanted to go in, is the Manor Court Alehouse. It's been quite a while now. So Pinkle is a very ancient medieval village up on the top of the hill in Stoke-on-Trent. And probably was the kind of mother. I know they talk about Burslem being the mother town. But actually, Sheffield Hopcastle and Burslem today, but they couldn't pronounce it. Funny for people from Sheffield, Burslem, as Burslem, Boslem. But Pinkle was the medieval village and kind of where the early kind of people like Spode and people lived up, lived this. And it's still got very much a village feel. It's got a village green, and it's where the kind of band are playing, which we focused. Church in the middle of the green and trying to buy pubs. So this is quite a new place. This is a newish kind of alehouse. It's next to a very ancient pub, which I'll show you again in a minute. But so never been in it, so thought, you know what, going to get in it. So, and I think Nick, I told you both the fantastic glasses. They had Galway Hooker craft brewery glasses, which were fantastic. No, Nick, you found me one on YouTube, on eBay, I think.
eBay.
So I was one of those where, you know what, if I was in a Wetherspoon, this would go in the pocket. But because this was a little independent local, I said, no, took it back. So as you can see, you get a lovely view of the church out the front.
Nice.
Now, they specialise in Dancing Duck beers. Now, I mentioned these a week before when we'd been to see the football up in Port Vale in Boslem. We'd have some Dancing Duck beers. So I'd not really come across them before. And they actually had two on. They had Back, Sack and Quack on cask, and then they had Abduction, which is a little bit stronger, on keg. So I did a bit of research, and interestingly, Dancing Duck Brewery, the brewery is in Derby, but it actually was formed by somebody, a lady from Rachel from Wolverhampton, and when she moved to Derby, she couldn't understand where everybody called a duck when she went to the shop to buy stuff. So that's kind of where the name came from. So the Dancing Duck Brewery, and I've got a feeling that I think in the Silk Mill, which we've mentioned, I think, in some past episodes, and it's places I always tend to go to in Derby. They specialise their beers as well. So, and you know what? I quite enjoy them. They're normally really well priced. So if you see any Dancing Duck beers, then grab them. The Back Second Crack is mild, and the Abduction is a slightly more full-flavoured IPA. So very nice. So next to the alehouse is the Greyhound, and the Greyhound is a 16th century old manor house, which is, I think it's been a pub for quite a while now. It's got a lot of heritage in it. It's got a fantastic little snug room. If you look on YouTube, you go through the little kind of door. There's two doors, but you go on the door on the right-hand side. The right there's got a fantastic little snug room. And this was used as the manorial court for Newcastle on the Line back in the day. So it's a great pub. We tend to go in there as a band. They normally have at least four casks on. They normally have a very cheap Titanic. They do the raspberry beer quite a lot in here for about £2 a pint, which is great. So very, very, very good. And then across the road from the Titanic is the Marquis of Granby. So within a spit of that churchyard, there are three pubs around the church. This is more of a bit more of a loud pub. You've got disco on a Friday, Saturday night. Do a good quiz. They've got cask on. They've got Directors, Hobgoblin and Pedigree on.
Got Marston's in it.
Yeah, but actually, you know what? That Curry's Director's Superior, I've not seen much of that.
I've not seen that in ages.
As you can see there, it poured bloody well. And you know what? It was actually. It was a good pint. So
they used to have that in Brown Cow in Sheffield before Sam Smith bought it. Yeah, that was... Oh, I always used to... If I went in there, that's what I always had, that Curry Director's.
Yeah. And then
it's
if you go...
favourite ale, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you go another 5 minutes either side of that pub, There are two further pubs in Penkel. There's the Terrace Inn, which again is a little bit more of a kind of a state pub. Parsons pub called the Beehive. So you can do a pretty nice little five pub crawl in Penkel and walk no more than a mile. And in fact, again, at Ban, we do the Wassail up in when do that? Is it December? We do Wassail. And I think it's in January we do Wassail. And we visit all those pubs, which is quite nice. We play outside each of the pubs and visit the apple trees in the village as well, which is really, really good. So that was good. Obviously, I'll catch up with my Whitby highlights. I've got a couple of new places that were new to us all. I did manage to test the Guinness in the Golden Line, which Bruce has mentioned before. And I've got to say, it was a very fine pack of Guinness, but we'll come back to that. I'll also tell Nick about a wonderful beer I had in the brewery, 9-volt battery, which was right down Nick's. I've got to say, the gold and the blonde was on very good form, but I thought I'd better try something a bit different. So I had a 9-volt battery, which is up there, Weiss beer, which is interesting. So, Bruce, what's going on in York, mate? So, this hit all the headlines, didn't it? Abuse, urine, and even missiles. York's nighttime yobs are out of control, says Top Tour Guide. And this started off in local papers, but then I think it got picked up by some of the nationals, didn't it?
I think she's kind of the nail on the head. It started getting great out there on a weekend. You certainly over the Ouse Bridge and the area at the bottom of Micklegate there gets pretty bad. We're walking back to the station as well. I mean, it's trouble. A lot of it, of course, is down to the proliferation of Airbnbs, but also, of course, it's become, I think, such a massive popular destination for hen parties. And when people realise that, the stags come. No, it's not good at all, I have to say, on a Saturday night. Friday night seemed to be fine. Saturday night, though. And on the night on the races, I mean, to be honest, we just avoid the town centre on race night, which is shocking, isn't it, really? Of course, people come to races have changed significantly. These people aren't really interested in horse racing. It's just an excuse to come and get bothered all day. And a lot of the blame, I think, especially on race days, has to lay the race course is certainly serving drink to people who are drunk, as indeed are the pubs on a weekend. There's clearly people being let in by the bouncers who have drunk too much. They're drinking them.
Exactly, Bruce. Yeah. Bruce, as you know, I'm a licensee, Bruce, and it is illegal to serve somebody who is already drunk. And therefore, you know, how can people get drunk? Because as soon as they're drunk, they shouldn't be allowed in the bars. And when the police are standing back saying, no, we can't arrest them for anything, then, you know, if they can't arrest the people getting drunk as easily, then start putting pressure on the landlords. And I know it's very difficult, you know, of me saying that, but yeah, a lot of the bars in York are making a hell of a lot of money out of it. And they're not bothered about the rest of the population. They're not bothered about the people who live there because ultimately they're being run by multinational companies again. There's very few little traditional pubs that are one-man bands in York that actually benefit. Those are the pubs that we go in because we know you're not going to be surrounded by dickheads. It's the bars that are selling to the dickheads and let these people get drunk that it's not affecting their lives because they're sat in offices in London or in Leeds or in these other places.
And it's interesting that linked to that is, again, some of the pushback the week after was certainly in one of those pubs Nick's mentioned, the Golden Ball, which we've frequented quite frequently. Which again is a pub, I guess it's slightly tucked away, but if you were coming back from the races, it's probably a pub you probably could head for. And they had decided that for the Dante Festival, which is in what's that, May, isn't it, Bruce? I think they were going to be race free. So they weren't going to let any race goers in, which is a bit hard because I guess there were some people who would enjoy the races but want to go for a decent pint. You know?
I would imagine lots of people who go, traditional pub, people have two or three pints, go to Trafalgar Bay. So that's closed now. This is on the, if you know where you're going, avoid the marked out routes. I certainly give the bands out, but it was a bit strange. It's a community-led pub now, the Golden Bar. Been a few, so I'm not entirely certain about this. Yeah, certainly don't let gangs in and things like that. But to tie everybody in the same brush, well, you know.
Can't say that goes. Now, Bruce, you mentioned, we've had enough ranting already. We're halfway through. We haven't got any more malt yet. Bruce, you mentioned you've been to Sheffield. You'd had some Kelham Island, which again, which we thought had gone on. Bit of digging, and I picked up that actually it was rescued partly by Thornbridge, actually, that the Tram Lines is a festival they have in
Sheffield.
And they had timed up, the co-owner of that, a guy called James O'Hara, had joined up with Simon Webster and Jim Harrison of Thornbridge, and they have rescued the beer, basically. They've they've kept the, I don't know whether they've kept the brewery open, but they've certainly kept Callum Island Pale Rider, and they're brewing that. I don't know whether they're brewing it at Thornbridge or they're brewing it still at Fat Cat or around there. But again, you'd mentioned that, again, it was great to see it back, and it is. So, yeah, that was the story behind Callum Island's Pale Rider. So great to hear that.
I used to love the Callum Island Bitter, and actually, I couldn't. They only had the Pale Rider on. We were there in the Fat Cats. And then I see the Bitter come back as well. I actually prefer the Bitter to the Pale Rider.
I think at the moment they're only brewing that because they reckon that was such a, you know, beer that was linked to Sheffield. So that was interesting. Cool. Yep, so that's a bit news there. And then just finally, as mentioned, I've been up in Whitby, so I did manage to get the brewery. I know, Nick, you tend to go there whenever in Whitby. And I'm reflecting back to, again, I was just thinking back 2 years ago, we were in Whitby and we were queuing to get in because it was one of the few places that was open in Whitby because it had such a nice outdoor space. And as you can see, some those on YouTube, it's a cracking place to drink beer. I think probably one of the best views from any tap room in the country. Definitely. And they're 10 years old, would you believe? In June, they're 10 years old. So they're having a bit of a shindig and all, having a beer and cheese night one night, and hopefully get some more pizza dough because they ran out. They ran out on when was that, Tuesday afternoon by about 4 o'clock. So I had a few pints, but no pizza, unfortunately. So I'll catch up on Whitby there. So as we said, we've done a couple of weeks now. We've been looking a couple of episodes. We've been looking at Malton and Norton, the kind of place that gave the podcast its name. So we first of all talked about some of the pubs that are no longer with us, unfortunately. And then the last episode, we picked up and we did a very, very the micro crawl around Norton, which is our side of the river, as there are only currently 3 pubs which are functioning in Norton. Is it 3 or is it even 2? Hyde Park Union and the Derwent Arms. So we're going to focus for the next 2 sessions on Malton. To mention that to get to Malton, you have to go to Norton because both the railway station and the bus station are in Norton because they're on the other side of the river. However, what we've done is I've kind of built a tour from starting from either the train station or the bus station or probably the main car park that you might want to use, because it's normally you get places which is down towards the railway station and across from a big place called Yates's, a big agricultural store called Yates's. So as I said, I've kind of done an anti-clockwise tour that takes in 11 or the 11 kind of functioning pubs which are currently available in Malton. You'll pass on that tour a couple of the pubs which are no longer open but are still there, and a couple of those again. So the plan tonight is that we're going to go from pub 1 to 6, which will take us just to the marketplace, the cattle market in Malton, and then next episode we'll pick up the other 5, and that will bring us to the kind of centre of Malton, the Malton kind of town square, where again the church, the market, etc. is there. So that's the plan. As I mentioned, there are probably, I think, another probably what, 4 or 5 places you get a drink. So we're not going to talk about the Talbot on our tour, but you can get a pint in there. A couple of restaurants, too, is that you can get a drink there. There's a whiskey merchant that you can get apparently craft beer in there. There is the gin distillery, Red Bird Gin Distillery in Talbot Yard, where you can buy, again, normally Red Willow beer is actually in there. And they retweeted me the other week when I said that. So a couple of places. There is now 2 breweries in town. Well, technically it's 1 brewery in town, isn't it? Because where is Brass Castle? Oh, no, there are 2 breweries in town. Sorry, I'm right. I'm thinking Bad Seed. So we've got the Yorkshire Pudding Brewery, which is, if you look on the map there, it's behind kind of York House Function venue to the bottom left. And we've also got the Brass Castle Brewery, which is towards the middle there, near number 1. Do Brass Castle brew all their beer there? Or do they have, am I thinking they've got another unit as well somewhere?
I mean, for a while, where Till and Brown used to be on the bridge, they've certainly been using that. I don't know if they've been using that for storage. Sometimes you see the vans there. Sometimes you see the new plastic barrels that you get that look like big soda stream things. You see stacks of those outside. And obviously that's part of Fitzwilliam's property as well. But whether they're actually brewing in there, I don't know. But I say certainly they've been using those premises, and obviously that's like a big warehouse.
Bad Seed up on the Showfield place, Bad Seed Brewery.
They were on one of the industrial estates, but that was it. I mean, I think that was part of their demise. Obviously, they never put a footprint in town. And you never used to see the beer in town either. Yeah. You know, they seem to send it out, but you difficult finding where they were and what they were doing, really.
Yeah, a lot of Brass Castle are reopening the buffet at Brilliant Railway Station.
They're looking at it. I was in Brilliant the other day. It's, I don't know, it's weird. You've got to know it's there. You know, there are, yeah, there are a couple of little micro bars I've opened up in Bryn now, but they're right in the centre, all right, not on the main street, but they're easier to find. Whereas I say, the railway station is still a little bit way out, really. Great, you come in by train, but there again, it's not a line that gets a lot of, you know, throughput, a lot of footfall through it, really. So, be interesting to see how they get on with it, really.
Okay, so this is our 11 pub crawl. So you could probably do this in a day if you really had to. And I know Nicky was saying that actually the problem with Malton is there's not a lot of accommodation. So you'd probably really you'd probably stop in somewhere like Scarborough or York, really. And then
which
come
is,
back in to
split it's it. Easy enough. Yeah. It's definitely easy enough.
20, 25 minutes away on the train or a bit longer on the bus. But again, with £2 buzz at the moment, you could go to somewhere like Leeds even. So the plan is, as you come out of the railway station, as you come out of the bus station, if you look up the hill up over the river, and your first sight you'll be greeted with is the Brass Castle Tap House. So we mentioned this before. In our days, this used to be a handbag shop, a suitcase shop, and actually was in the past was actually a temperance hotel. Which obviously didn't sell any beer, but
around the back where the brewery is, it used to be Campbell's lawnmowers and lawnmowers. Yeah.
So this is the tap house. Nick was a bit unsure about it, but I think I've turned him round, and it's one of his regulars now, mainly because they do a loyalty scheme. So is it 6 pints you get one free, Nick?
8 pints you get one free plus £3.50 for their own beer in there. Yeah. So you know you'd be paying £3.50, and then every 8 pints you get another one free as well. It's probably the cheapest beer in town now.
Yeah. Now, I guess that picture's a little bit missing because it's quite a small place, actually, and it's only on one floor. Amazing they haven't gone up yet. I don't know where those upstairs are.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, so upstairs is often open. They've actually got a billiards table up there as well. I think they're part of a billiards league, which is obviously an old-fashioned game, predated pool. And they've got various games and stuff up there. But yeah, once again, we always tend to stay downstairs, don't we?
Yeah.
I just wish they'd put the tables out the back again when they've been had their fingers wrapped from the estate again, because obviously all that land is the estates. I mean, I went up the other night and it was lovely just to be able to sit outside. I went outside and there was no way. I had to lean against the wall in the end. I mean, I was the only person out there.
Yeah,
but
whether
it's to do with noise or whatever else, I don't know, to do with the license, they always used to have tables and stuff out there, but they're not encouraging it at the moment.
So, as I say, it's a fairly basic tap house. It's kind of, I don't know, it's typical 21st century tap house, isn't it? It's all, as you can see from the window there, it's all pallets and industrial piping and stuff, and a fairly
scaffolding boards.
As I've said on the thing there, you've just watched their closing times, because although they're better than they were, they do shut quite early. And we caught out last time we were out there. We went together, Nick and Nick, because I think that was shut on a 8 o'clock. I think they shut on a Sunday night.
Yeah, I think they close on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, something like 4 till 8, 4 till 9. They only do all days on obviously Saturday. I think it is, you know, so 11 through till.
Whether that's their licensing, that's the license that they'll get granted them, or I don't know, because you expect them to be. I mean,
once again, it's the people they get in there have had enough by 10 o'clock and they don't want that last hour of idiots piling in there who are already drunk and having to deal with it. Because once again, it's not the greatest of buildings because the bar, little bar, is right in front of the door there. They encourage people not to stand at the bar, although they seem to relax that rule a little bit now. But yeah, I mean, if you can make a living till 10 o'clock, you know, what is the point in having folks after 10 who are already half cut? So I think that's probably why they do it.
So they normally have two on cask, at least two on, I think two on cask, don't they? And then they have obviously the kegs behind, probably 6-7 keg lines behind. And then they do also like a little mini shop at the left there. You can see a fridges and some shelves where you can buy pretty much the most of the Brass Castle range. And we've mentioned before that they, Bad Seed was one of the other brewers in Malton. Unfortunately, they have kind of closed down, although I still see their beers here and there. And I think last time we were in it, we were chatting to the guy behind the bar, and I think some of the Bad Seed guys have come across to work for Brass Castle now as well. So there might be a little bit of a ring there.
I think one of them has, yeah. And then they do collabs with other breweries as well. I know they're into this, bringing people in from overseas, America and Canada.
Yeah.
And whether they're sending their staff over there, but this, you know, this is what craft brewers tend to do now, is share knowledge and share sabbaticals and stuff like that.
And then again, just for those on YouTube, behind the bar is the brewery, which is, as Nick said, used to be a lawnmower, a little engineer's thing. The building you see there and then on the right there, they sometimes put a bar in that where the roll-up shutters are there. They often put a festival bar in there when they're doing stuff, and certainly we've had a drink in there as well. And like I say, it could be a nice little courtyard out the back there as well. So yeah, not a bad place. There is a bit of a clique in there that sit on the big table on the right side. I've got to say, Nick, yeah, is that right? Every time I've been in there, it's the same kind of faces that sit around that.
They're the regulars that keep the place open. Yeah, they're all the retired.
Yeah, and they're okay. They don't hurt anybody.
Oh, definitely. It's just dogs. Dogs sometimes are a pain that they have. Yeah. That they tend to lie all the way in the doorway, and I don't know what it is with dogs in pubs. I don't mind it, but when they actually encourage me, I was stood at the bar the other day, went to get served, and this bloody great hound came up with his paws on the bar. I said, "What's happening here at bar?" I said, "Oh, it's all right. He's just come for a snack." No, so encouraging a dog to put its paws up on the bloody bar, lean its head over, just to get a bastard biscuit. It's like. Okay, right. Well, fine.
There, me and Nick enjoying some beers in Brascastle. We like to sit in the window there. We normally often get in there when we go to Florio across the road, which is a really good Italian restaurant in town. And we're through. So, Brascastle, good place to start, good place to finish. So, maybe that you can have your last pint in there before you wait for the buzz of the train. But so, just be careful because they shut either at 8 or 10 in the week or at weekend. So, just be careful. We mentioned this pub a few times already, actually. So across the road, slightly from the Brass Castle, is one of the more traditional pubs in Morton, and that is the New Globe. And as we mentioned, this is one of our first drinking halts. So in episode 44, we spoke with roasted glasses about being in this particular pub. And the nice feature over the bar used to be that two-thing toilet seat. We'd chuck it in a bucket or something, which is an interesting feature in the pub. But we talked about Barry being one of the legendary landlords when we were younger. And it's still going strong. It's okay. Maybe not a kind of camera type drinky boozer, because it's got carpets and fruit machines and darts and things, and slightly rougher clientele. But normally I have at least a couple of cask beers on.
It's a community pub in town now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not one of those places where everybody puts their pints down and stare at you. You know, and people in town tend to be friendly.
Yeah.
It's always a place to go for the disco and the karaoke. They seem to be flogging a disco and karaoke when there's only maybe half a dozen people in there. But I say it's a community pub now.
This pub's open, isn't it? This pub will be open. It'll be open every lunchtime. It'll be open every night, every day of the week. It's open. So quite a nice little beer garden as well, which you can see just the left-hand side of the picture there. So again, the weather's quite nice. It's got a nice little beer garden. You can sit out there as well. And again, we mentioned last time we were in there, I think I took some pictures. This is the left of the bar. There's a little lounge on the left, which we talked about. Didn't used to exist when we were kids. It used to be the dining room. And then I say, unfortunately, this is the rear snug now, which has been and now has become a little bit of a games room. But you can probably tell from that kind of flooring and the kind of decor that it's slightly not quite the same old Yorkshire traditional pub. So those two are fairly close together. You then turn around what is Butcher's Corner, which sometimes normally has an interesting smell as you go around for whatever reason.
That smell?
Because the Victorian sewers, Bruce, and to sort them, they'd have to dig the road up for weeks. And once again, a lot of the roads have just been done in Morton. People have complained about potholes and the surface of the roads. They closed the roads for 2 or 3 days and everybody's up in arms. Everybody's life has come to an end. Oh, we can't get the kids to school. I can't get to work. And I can't do this and I can't do that. And these are the same people that complain of the state of the roads. So to sort those sewers out once and for all, Bruce. Number one, they've got to stop the fast food people who up the roads basically.
Right, let's move on. It's a beer podcast. We're not going to have fast food. Right. So up the road, we're now onto what's called Wheelgate Mall, which is the main kind of shopping street, which kind of climbs up gradually towards kind of top end of Morton. And on the right hand side, what next? Just up from what used to be Woolworths, is now was a Douglas. Is it still Douglas Smith? Are they shutting as well?
Yeah, no, it's Smith.
You come to what is now called the Rose and Crown.
Most
people in Malta will still refer to it as Sotheby's.
Can't call it that.
You have to be careful because the new people quite rightly get very peed off. Everybody calls it Sotheby's. When the Sotheby family sold it. Well, we don't. We call it the Rose and Crown. We say we call it the Rose and Crown. So it's the Rose and Crown, which was its name, I think, and many, many moons back.
Say it for the third time.
The Rose and Crown. But this pub, as a British legend, the Sotheby family did have this and ran all manner of things from it, including for quite a while an Undertaker's. So again, in our very young days, you sometimes would pass coffins in the back area, and certain first used to be there. This was also the site of the original Malton Brewery, And we'll come on for a minute. And that was, there was a brewery around the back. And just as we were starting to drink kind of seriously, the brewery probably was in its heydays. In fact, I wrote about it in my A-level economics, all about, and my general studies A-level, actually. And probably got me some good grades because of it. So this is a more traditional boozer. Again, we've mentioned it a few times on our trips. Do occasionally still pop in there. It's not quite the pub it used to be. It used to be very open, isn't it? Bit of a, again, another horsey pub, wasn't it, Bruce? You could put a bet on this pub, couldn't you?
You could put another bar and get paid your winnings there. Yeah. And the fire roaring. We saw it in the final days of the Sudbury family.
So lovely roast beef sandwiches on the bar. Big rolls with thick, fresh butcher's roast beef.
They're all changed. So when Sudbury's did have it, they opened the Moulton Brewery. And Double Chance was their signature beer, named after a Derby winner. Bruce, that right? Was it Derby winner or Grand?
Right, yeah, Dad, yeah.
Derby winner, which was stabled apparently reputedly around the back of the pub when the days it was coaching in. Again, and that was our first probably proper beer that we were drinking, and was one of those very early, I wouldn't say craft beers, but it was, wasn't it? It was a small micro brew chucking out decent ale. Old Bob was their kind of heavy, kind of, was it a stout or was it more of a kind of a strong ale? Strong
Porter.
Ale.
Yeah, strong ale porter.
Yeah. And I know that you had Tunnel Buster, which was that Odd Bob in bottles?
It was Odd Bob, yeah.
Yeah, for Eden Camp themed. So the brewery, you know, did really, really well. And then for lots of maybe other reasons, didn't do quite so well. I think a few fallings out with people and people left, and it never quite was the same, was it?
When, since it couldn't chipped out to Cropton to Maiden Hamburton Brewery, didn't
and then, it? Yeah, Brown Cow were brewing it for a while, weren't they? And it was never quite the same. And then I say that this we knew it as Sudbury's because Sudbury's family had the brewery for quite a long time. Actually, I've just listed here. I was quite amazed, actually. I don't know where I got this, but you actually look at what they were chucking out, you know. They chucked out.
Didn't
they? You know, I think there were 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10... 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. I mean, there was lavender beer. There was a ginger beer, wasn't there? I mean, Double Chance, Golden Chance were the beers of mine. I quite like Golden Chance. It was quite a nice beer, actually.
It was, yeah.
Old Bob was okay. Last Chance, I know, that was brewed at Hambledon. So they did chuck up quite a few beers. But after 140 years of history, the Sudbury family, and Neil, who was the son of the, kind of one of the, well, he was third generation, wouldn't be, I think, Neil, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Third generation, they sold up and moved on. And the pub was in the doldrums a little bit. And then I say a new couple took it over fairly recently and renamed it Rose and Crown. And it's a fairly decent pub. And they normally have at least two or three casks on. I think they specialize, don't they, Nick? Great news, Nick. We always seem to be on when we're going in there. I would say that when you used to walk in the good old days, you would be probably. Hit with probably about, what, 5 or 6 cask lines in front of you.
It would, yeah.
There was always a couple of couple of guest beers on, despite most of the regulars drinking John Smith Smooth. Even though there was all this wonderful Yorkshire beer on, they all drank John Smith Smooth.
Neil in the bar drinking John Smith Smooth.
Yeah. Neil, he was into his beer, so he would get quite some really good guest beers. I mean, it was, wasn't it? It was where... Again, it was one of those pubs out of its time, you know. There was always one or two guest beers on. Even in the 90s, there was two guest beers on, and then their range. They opened a bottle shop as well next door. Again, that was good because he managed to get Sam Smith's beers in there as well, so that was a good place to go and buy Sam Smith's bottle beers. Nice little courtyard in the middle bit, and then out the back there is kind of what they call the festival bar, which again is an area that there was music and stuff as well. So still worth popping in there. I say they normally have at least two cask beers on, and often it'll be a great newsome. A little bit further up the road, and one probably now which is more regular, although probably wasn't back in the day, was it? It's probably become more of a regular for us. It's Across Keys, isn't it? You were regular in here. You probably always, whenever you go Moulton, you'd probably pop in here, wouldn't you?
I go in, but I seriously fear for its survival. Every time I go in, it's the quietest place I go in. And it's a shame, but it's such a big pub. And once again, the overheads of keeping it up and running. It's one of the oldest buildings in town. It's got an ancient crypt in the bottom of it. And, you know, just dealing with the day-to-day problems of an old building. I mean, when did I ever last walk out? You know, everyone else is ticking over nicely. I walked in there and there was literally 3 people in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was an early evening. I think it's a guy who's got a pub in Beverley now. But as I say, you know, I do feel sorry because he's taken it on. And yet, I just can't see I can't see it's making a living for him, to be honest.
It's a shame because they always have, they have Landlord on pretty much permanent, and they also have Abbeydale.
Yeah.
Which one do they have on?
Dissolution.
Dissolution, which is always a really good pint in there. As Nick mentioned, it's a medieval building. The hotel is built on a beautiful Gothic crypt from the 12th century. There's always a myth in Malton that there's a tunnel that runs here across the Priory in Old Malton. I don't think I've ever been down the crypt. The crypts, there's a picture there on YouTube for those that want to see it. There are still these medieval crypts where they have the barrels and stuff downstairs. It's interesting. It's been through a few phases. It was a Thai restaurant for a while, wasn't it, Nick? That carried on serving decent beer. We quite like the little snug on the left-hand side that you go in, and that's got a very, very funky-looking, retro-looking jukebox in there, which you can see, I think, plays records still.
No, it never works. It never works. Right. Used to do.
Switched on there.
I've never known it working for years.
It's quite a smart pub inside, actually. It's quite nice.
Absolutely. I was really impressed.
Nice. Yeah. And the sitting area is nice, and there's a little bar, beer garden, little beer kind of terrace right at the back there. So definitely worth calling in. It's on the main street.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Two good beers on there. A little bit further up, again, another pub, which possibly, again, is kind of hanging on by a thread, is the Blue Ball. In fact, it was shut for a while. Reopened, in fact, again, unfortunately, last time we were in Malton, we couldn't get in. We just got there too late because they have early closing hours as well. I think I mentioned that what pub claims it's got both Landlord and Tetley's on permanently. But I did notice that they had a Brass Castle Blue Ball beer on there. Look very similar to the Blue Bell Brass Castle beer that they have in York as well. There we go. So this is, I think, in what we call a labyrinth of the pub, which it is really. This was a pub that I drank in a hell of a lot because it was a rugby club pub. So on a Saturday night, that's kind of where we add up. It's got some great little bars. Unique, I guess that serving bar is unique, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
It's probably about 4 foot square to serve, four or five rooms? I bet it's a crap place to work. Although, probably not, because you just whiz round and everything was round you. You've got like four different serving hatches. Again, our choice would be the little room on the picture on the left. That is to the, it's kind of the front of the bar. It's kind of the right-hand side as you walk down the corridor. This side, that nice little snug, seats about probably six, seven people. And the back bar as well. Now, the pub itself didn't get on the pictures, but the ex-landlady and landlord, who were quite legendary, weren't they? They actually treated him one of Ramsay's, Gordon Ramsay. They've moved to,
Cumbria. What's
it called now? Is that what it is? Yeah. And the Fenwick Arms, that's it. And it was a famous one where Gordon Ramsay ends up throwing out all the plates because the landlord was still into all his fancy food and did a bit the Yorkshire pudding gravy thing as well. So that's there as well. And the other picture on there as well. Nick, do you remember who that was?
Barcy.
So, yeah.
Give us a roar, Barcy.
Another legend was a guy who was very much linked to the rugby club and you'd find him here at British every night in the Blue Ball, in that back little bar, leaning on the bar, drinking his God knows how many pints.
Not leaning.
He was kind of Malton's Jeffrey Bernard, wasn't he, really?
He was.
Constantly pissed.
Barty, give us a roar. No, I can't.
And he had this famous roar that he used to give us at the rugby club. So after a few beers, he would be egged on to give us a roar. So it's still
What did he do for a living, Barty?
I don't know. He would always seem to be retired whenever I met him.
He was retired.
I know. It was a bit like Bill McLaren, the famous commentator. I think he got something like polio or something when he was very young. He didn't play. He was a very good rugby player, and I think something happened to him and he couldn't play. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that. So that's the Blue Ball. Worth going into. Again, a pub, proper old Yorkshire pub. Used to be very good for its food. I don't know what food's like now, but it used to be, again, a place where you go for a meal, wouldn't it? And I say, they normally have two cask beers on. They used to have here the old Tetley system, didn't they? The old kind of through flow system where your pint used to be overflow and they'd serve your pint white. It was absolutely all the way down here.
It was fantastic, wasn't it?
Recycled beers. So if you then nip across the road and you walk up the kind of back of what is kind of the cattle market onto the cattle. Oh, no, sorry. The other thing I was going to talk about was the name, the Blue Ball, because it's a funny name, isn't it, really, the Blue Ball? You come across a few of them, and then a quick Google, and there are three reasons why Blue Ball is used. On coastal towns, apparently, when pubs on the harbour, when the fleet comes back in, they put a blue kind of float, a blue buoy. They'd hoist that to say that the fleet were back in. So and that would be Moulton. Blue ball was often used by fortune tellers. And obviously, you tend to find three blue balls for pawnbrokers. But yeah, the one that probably most links to golden blue balls, if you go back to that original picture, is it was a coaching house and it's on the main road out in Moulton, was that coaching houses used to put a blue ball outside their door to let incoming coaches know that this pub had fresh horses and accommodation. So it was a way of saying, if you want to swap your horses, we've got fresh horses. So there you go. And apparently this pub is Grade Two listed. It's been there since the 16th century, probably a farmhouse, I reckon, initially, but it's been named the Blue Ball since 1823. So that would probably link into those coaching days. So there we go. So another heritage pub, which the Blue Ball is the Spotted Cow. Again, is probably a shadow of what it used to be. It is a Tetley heritage pub. Yeah. It's in a cracking location on the edge of the still there cattle market. So Moulton still has a traditional cattle market. So is it Tuesdays and Fridays? You can go up and see cows, sheep, and bulls and pigs being sold. It's quite, God, when we were kids, there literally would be thousands of people there, wouldn't there? And there's hundreds of animals often escaping and running down the road. It's not quite as big as that now. And there's always talk about it moving out of the town and going on to kind of, onto an industrial park. So the Spotted Cow was the market pub. So again, it always had quite good licensing hours. It was pre-Wetherspoon, the pub. You could get a pint 8 o'clock in the morning because that's when the markets would kick in. There's some cracking pictures of it in which again you can hardly get hold of. Was another great Tatley's pub. I can see from the picture there on YouTube, Tillet is up there as well. But it is reopened, Nick, isn't it? It's kind of ticking over.
Yeah, I went in there when it reopened. I'm sure I told the tale about I didn't think the people who were running it would last long. It seems they have done, but I think they had no option really when they didn't have a till and the lady behind the bar wasn't quite sure how much it was going to be. And yeah, so I'm afraid I've only been in there once.
Some pub room that when it was does this room still look the same, Nicole?
Yeah, it's still pretty much the same. I know this strip. I think I've got a picture on. I got a picture where they stripped it out. Yeah, this is the front snug bar. So you go in through again, it's a bit of a corridor pub with lots of rooms off it. The left-hand side, fireplace, and then again, seating at one end for about 20 people. And then the other end, but you've probably got a couple of tables and then you get about four people either side. And our favourite place. And again, certainly in the week, good up there on a Tuesday, Wednesday night, I often go up there. Again, they always had three or four hand pumps on. So again, if nothing else, it's worth going and sitting in that little room there. Again, you can see on that picture. I think that picture's gone. There's a picture of those on YouTube on the right hand side there of the window, which is of a two kind of market guys, two farmers stood outside the pub very early in the morning with a pint of Tetleys. And it's one of those Tetley bitter men. If you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah.
I say, I've never been able to find that photo anywhere.
No, I'd love to have a copy of that.
So a Spotted Cow.
The Rosie's Brewery mirror's gone as well over the fireplace.
Yeah.
Has it?
Yeah.
What a shame. Yeah,
they're all stripped out, were they? So that is the first part of our tour. So that will be 6 pints in at the moment. So we've probably had a pint of Brass Castle. We've probably had, well, hopefully a Doom Bar in thing, but maybe a Wainwright in the Globe. Rose and Crown, we've had a Great Newsome. So maybe, hopefully, a Sneck Lifter or something like that, or Sleck Dust, not Sneck Lifter, not Jennings, but Sleck Dust.
Prickly Back Option.
We'll have had a Abbeydale in the Cross Keys. We'll have had maybe a Blue Ball IPA in the Blue Ball, and across maybe for a pint of Tetleys in the Spotted Cow. So we're 6 pints in, and we've got 5 pubs to go, which I say we will cover next time. So of those 6, Bruce, you're the one that you'd probably want to go to.
Well, of course, I was a regular in Sotheby's, and it was the type of place where you go to, and there was always people in there that you'd know. There was some great events, nights in there, and often the Moulton being horse racing town, of course. Occasionally, tips would fly around, and some days there'd be races run on the TV, and the entire pub would have the money on one horse, which meant for a great sense of a collective victory and failure and congratulations, celebration. It was a great place for the business. I think architecturally, in terms of interiors, Spotted Cow was a stunning pub. That front room was just fantastic, yeah. Wasn't it? As was the Blue Bell when Brandon had it. I mean, you know, it was a great mix of daytime drinkers and young people on a weekend. They really were good landlords. He had an old pub, but really kept different people apart and kept the beer, well, and food. So, yeah, just sad that really all those pubs now are just a shadow of what they were, really. I know we sound like old men, but it really is. And you think how vibrant they were and, you know, the life brought. Yeah, you could have a great night around Malton, couldn't you? But sadly, not anymore.
So you'd go the Rose and Crown then, would you? Just for memories.
I think now I'd probably go to Spotted Cow. I've not been in it though since they've had the
strip. Yeah, and the back bar was a bit crap, wasn't it? The back bar was nice. And that little pool room. Nick, if you had the choice, you could only pick one. If you were just going to have, I mean, we're only halfway through, so I think maybe one of the others next time you might pick. But I'm going to go two.
So just simply to keep it open, would be the Cross Keys. Because I do really seriously think that will be the next bar they put that will close. But Brass Castle now, because of the beer, they've always got, obviously, they're making their own beers. So there's always a different beer to try. The fact that it's convenient as well, and say the fact that you don't get the dickheads going in there. So,
No, I think I'd be the same. I'd be drawn, I think, a pint of Abbeydale on that little table we always sit in. In that little snug bar in the Cross Keys, but I think if I was pushed, I'd probably Brass Castle would be my first choice these days.
Yeah.
So there's always a good crack in there. There's always
one thing you're not mentioning was because it was the Malton Food and Drink Festival last weekend. What were the reports on that? I was told there was less stalls there this time round. Is this correct?
Yeah, there was less stalls. There was a bit of disquiet within the local traders. In terms of obviously the people who pay their lease year in, year out, being told that they weren't allowed to sell from their shop frontages without paying £1,000.
Oh my goodness.
Even though if a third party store was put in front of their shop, then obviously it was blocking their shop. So once again, I think it's going to be down on its ass, Bruce, because there's a few stalls there. And even though it's supposed to be a non for profit Malton CIC. I think once again, when you can get a stall cheaper at York Christmas Market than you can at Malton Food Festival, I think, you know, that's the way it's going now. It was busy. It certainly brings a lot of people in from outside. But once again, whether these people will come back year after year, because I say less stalls and prices. Yeah, I had a quick chat with Howard from Malton Brewery. He's always been there. He's always supported it. He was knocking his beers out for £3.50. He tried his Yorkshire Pudding Porter, which is a new one, quite licoricey. And he said Saturday was good because obviously Saturday was a red hot day. So for anybody selling alcohol, that was good. He said there seemed to be people about, but not many people spending. And yet walked down the main part of the market area there. And there was another stall. It was a couple that had just taken on the 46 Cafe. They were knocking out pints of beer di Moretti for £6. Ouch. So once again, it's a pint of beer di Moretti for £6. Or it's a pint of real ale for £3.50.
Wow.
But once again, I suppose they had to do it because otherwise their frontage would have been blocked by somebody else's stall and they wouldn't have made any money at all. Right. A bit like you've talked about York before, Bruce, where, you know, the people who are trying to earn a living all year basically get pushed out and get pushed to the back.
Yeah.
In fact, Howard was asking for they did tweet about people to help out, so maybe next time. Is there another one in August, Nick? Normally, you have two a year.
Yeah, be August. I think it's one about the bank holiday and something like that.
Offer our service, maybe we can do something go and help out. So that would be good. So, anyway, we'll pick up that next time because we haven't talked a little bit about Food Capital. And again, if you're on YouTube, you see that's plastered all over the map that I've kind of nicked, so I better be careful because I don't want Malton come chasing me saying that. It's good promotion, if nothing else. And obviously it can't be good because King Charles was there, wasn't he? Just before he was crowned, and Queen Camilla made a thing. I think they went to the Rare Bird Distillery, didn't they? And Poirot's
or an ice cream.
Yeah, and up there they didn't want beer they drank. But anyway, there we go. So that's the plan. So next time we meet up, we will be doing another five pubs in Malton to finish off our crawl. So I will be reporting back from Whitby. Having had a few days up there, and again, a couple of new venues to pick up. Bruce, have you got any plans for the rest of this week?
Well, I've got the day off work tomorrow, but unfortunately, I booked the day off work. There's a train strike. You don't have a car. Limited options. So unless I can persuade Christine. But there is there's a limited train service, and they have timetable at this time. We're going to Newcastle, but the last train is back at 6:30, which is a bit early, and they must be full because it's charging a fortune. So I suspect we're possibly going to go to North Allerton and Richmond tomorrow. We've got York Pride, of course, 10 minutes walk from us at the nearest Mary on Saturday. That's always quite good fun. So we're there on Saturday. But I think it'd be quite good fun trying to get our trip to Rochdale and Manchester and Chester.
That'd be good. Nicholas, you're from Spain, aren't you? So you'd be drinking Cruz Campo.
Working. Might pop out very, very quickly on Saturday evening after work. Just grab a last couple of British beers before I'm going to go to bed at 8:00 because I'm flying out at silly o'clock Sunday morning. But yeah.
So you can look up some of those Madrid beers that are so famous. So you can find any in
Spain. And also, I'm hoping I'll be going to Lidl again, getting some more of that, what I got you to. I don't think you've tried it yet. I brought you a bottle each back. Very nice it was. You'll go and find it in the cupboard now.
Yeah, I've got it in the cellar.
Menorcan craft. It was like an IPA.
I might have it now, actually.
Yeah, very nice. As long as it's got, add it in the fridge. It really is nice.
You can't bring these, the M. Similarda bread. I see people bring it back from York and Ryanair trying to charge them £20 for bringing it back. So big. Have you read about this?
No.
Madness. There's these big Majorcan plate bread loaves, and everyone's bringing them back because they're very fashionable. So Ryanair is deeming it as excess luggage and charging, I think, £32 or £60 for bringing the loaf of bread back on the plane. Unbelievable.
Very good. So, say, we'll catch up. Nick's on a week off, so we'll probably do the next recording in a couple of weeks' time. And I said that will be the second part. I say, if you do want to look back at episodes 44 and 45, we talk a little bit about pubs in the past. I say, in episode 45, we looked at the pubs in Norton. So we'll do the rest of Moncrow, and then we'll pick up the kind of the ones on the edge as well and do that in a couple of weeks' time. So that is it for today. So I'll just let the rest of Pub Crawl reveal itself, and then we'll play our normal music. So good night, guys.
Bye.
See you soon.
Bye.